how's your job function changing? What's new and different? Because if you stand still, you will fall behind.
It opens up different kinds of jobs for actually more specialist kind of jobs.
What is happening in the industry you work in that impacts your level, your type of job?
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schuller.
Today, I am joined by Stephen J. Manning, and we're going to talk about a really important topic, which I've been studying this for probably about, well, certainly 11 years, I would say. That was the first time I was actually asked my opinion on it. And I sat on a panel for IBM to talk about job disruption, AI, and actually what that would do to people and the world, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, there are so many areas which jobs are being, you know, where jobs are being disrupted. And it's not like AI is really actually that terrifying. What it is people are not prepared. And Stephen and I are going to kick around this topic for the next kind of half an hour, 40 minutes, and we're going to really dig into the ins and outs of it. I'm even going to show some results from our new AI career advisory service. So Stephen's going to give me a random job. And I'm actually going to put that into our new tool, which is part of Monday Influencer. And we're going to give some advice and kick around the topic and actually the advice which our new tool gives. So this is like a bit of beta testing at the same time as kind of discussing this massive topic. And look, not a lot has really changed since the last time I actually talked about this topic, if I'm brutally honest. The same advice was, look, just get off your ass, learn new skills, learn how to use AI, and you're going to be ahead of the people who don't. And that's kind of, from where I'm sitting, the kind of approach. What do you think, Steve? Are you kind of worried for people, or are you excited for their new jobs and their new productive lives?
Both. I'm worried for people because the reality is most people, all of us are frightened of the thing that's so new that has potential for changing our lives in every way. And the stark reality also is that most people are just not going to invest the time and energy that is required to learn and perhaps master, but certainly learn the benefits of the new thing and then implement those in their own lives. We all are creatures of habit. We like predictability. And all of a sudden there's a newfangled thing called AI, which of course is not as new. We've been at it since the 1980s. So it's compelling. No, that's the wrong word. It's mandatory that anyone watching this, listen to this, consider what we have coined this morning as a rally cry, which is, hey, Bob, AI is your friend. So the question is, how do you befriend the saber-toothed tiger that's going to eat you up, take away your job, take away your livelihood? Everything you know how to do will become passé because the big old machine in the sky can do it better or more efficiently. And then going backwards to something that we preach all day long is, and this has been true since, the wheel changed the world, the electricity changed the world, internet revolutionized everything in our lives, and now AI is running 1,000 miles an hour faster than we can keep up. Do not sit back and say, I'm just a roadkill on this technological highway. I've been hearing that from very smart people for a long time. I'm just so far behind. I understand it, but not really. It's affecting my life. Oh, by the way, I'm looking for a job. And one of the requirements, I understand, I'm not told, but I get it, that the employer or the AI bot reviewing the applicant job apps is looking for people who are not technologists, but they understand the need and the use of technology. In other words, don't become a technologist, but you must learn how to use it. You know,
yeah.
If you don't know how to use it, goes back to what we preach all day long.
Yeah.
In this world today, particularly as this incredible technological way of life explosion called AI, if you stand still, you're happy, you're doing your job, you're doing what you're doing. If you stand still, you are just going to fall behind, period.
Yeah.
Don't become a technologist, but do learn how to use it.
Yeah.
Because whether your next employer, wherever you're applying for a job, so states it or not, is looking for people who will not have some competency in AI.
Yeah.
Use of AI, to be clear.
Yeah.
That's the right code.
100%.
That's the right code. Oh, by the way, AI can write the code, but you don't have to write the code.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
AI can do.
Well, it can, but that's interesting because actually it opens up different kinds of jobs for actually more specialist kind of jobs. But what I found in my research, I did a little bit of research. Well, I would say a considerable amount of research. If I was to do this research without the use of AI, which I used different tools for this, it would have probably taken, I would say, 6 to 8 hours. But I did it in maybe 10 minutes. And then I was like, actually, I don't like the way this is. Give me more, give me more. And then I created this career advisory, which is fantastic, which just it really helps people so much. But what I thought was very interesting was that 39% of core skills will be outdated by 2030. So that's 39% of today's skills will require updating, right? It's huge. But what also is interesting is that actually 66% faster skill changes in AI exposed jobs, 66%. So I thought that was very interesting. But the people who use AI, right? In my personal opinion, they are open to change and they actually work much, much faster than people who don't. So I'm not too worried about that statistic, if I'm brutally honest. Well,
let me ask a question. Is there any job, any process, any that's from ordering a hamburger at the drive-up window to picking up your mobile phone? Is there any process, anything you do in your daily life, and certainly in your working life, that is not AI infused? The day you got your first mobile phone, you were in the AI world. You know, so it's the question is, what happens to you, your job, with the advent of everything AI does? My friend, the orthopedic surgeon, they created a whole wing for him at the biggest hospital there is. And he says he prefers robotics to his clearly superior skill. And he's just got the platinum hands. And he moved from this massive hospital to this massive hospital because these people provided him with the robotics and the AI tools that he thinks enhance what he does. Of course, the reality of computing remains the same. Garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in there, you get garbage out. But then now we have these filters, AI filters, that are looking at all that garbage, all that input, say, well, based upon everything else in ether, that could be garbage. But the reality also is that another man I know, they are unusual people. They spend their lives in a dark room looking at images and they are looking at images in real time. Somebody's doing surgery and they're looking at real time images and guiding a surgeon. This man is part of a group of like 100 who said, you need to understand that I look at that 54-inch screen and I'm looking at the image and I've seen 10,000 of them. I have an AI bot that's also looking at the same image. And the AI bot tells me that I am missing a change in density, color, whatever, right over there, which I cannot see. There's no way I can see it, but my little AI bot can see, I don't know what the measurement is, but 100 times clearer than I can. Yeah. And that's why I stop. Look in that quadrant. And then a surgeon can actually go like this and look and say, you know, you're right. There's some abnormal tissue there. But we couldn't see it. So AI, look, it is really silly to sit there for days pondering something you can get done in a heartbeat. As long as you don't lose your humanity, you know, Einstein was wrongly quoted as, it is wrongly quoted, somebody else wrote that, but he's given credit to, regrettably we arrived at a place where technology has surpassed our humanity. I look at it different. This technology has surpassed our own ability to think through it. Now, you said that you can spend 8 hours to do that piece of research. In my little world, up until fairly recently, I say, okay, for me to develop that, okay, so how many days, weeks, over weeks and months will I spend talking to senior people at MIT, senior people I may know at Wharton? There are two doctor physicians at the Cleveland Clinic that and Mayo that I should really ask. And then some supercilious brilliant brains teaching at somewhere. And because I need to figure this out. So instead of that, I can now go to Schooler's model and get a really robust baseline for all that. It's robust. I think I can take that and expand that to right. What I think, yeah. To how I want and how and why I interpret it as I do.
Right, okay? Right.
Because I promise you, yeah. My surgeon friend, and they all do, these men and women, you know, they're into the Carpenter's axiom, you know, measure twice, cut once.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you see. Eventually he said, okay, now I'm going to look.
Yeah.
I have to see that with my own eyes, and then I'm going to get a better pair of eyes, the camera, the styling to the AI about to tell me if I'm seeing, if I'm missing something.
So but this technology, but it's amazing. But I interviewed a chap who's at the NHS in Birmingham, I believe. And he's been using that sort of technology for the last, I think, 5 years. He's been developing it with Oracle. And actually, fantastically interesting guy. He's got 5 degrees. He didn't even speak a word until I think he was 4 years old. Not one word. And now he's got 5 degrees and he's basically an AI-powered.
He was saving it up, huh?
Well, I think he must have been, but he's an AI-powered surgeon, this guy. Fantastically interesting. And he does something to do with it's reduced the amount of amputations dramatically, because actually the AI notices certain patterns based upon prior photos, right? So it's not rocket science. This is what people seem to think. It's not magic. It's not rocket science. We don't have AGI, right? Which is basically automated everything. We're still interrogating a database, which is what you reminded me the other day of, right? However, with that said, the benefits that I am seeing in many tools that I use. I mean, for example, there's a cybersecurity tool that I use for protecting myself, right? That actually now has a chatbot that is briefed on malware, phishing emails, all sorts of things. So now, as opposed to me reading an email and going, oh, I must do something about this, it looks genuine, I can now take that email and think, okay, well, maybe it's not genuine. And then I can take it and I can copy and paste it into this chatbot who is versed on that specific topic. And then it will say, no, this is a scam. Do not click that link, right? Which for some people, they need that reassurance, that advice, yeah? And so that's just one example of what's going on right now.
Nathaniel, let me ask a simple question.
Yeah.
And I talk endlessly about my dentist. I talk about the guy who's crew fixes my car. And I talk about whatever. Okay, so I have a problem. I have an issue. I have uncertainty about something specific. Don't know really what to do. Not sure what my best way to proceed here is. And eventually I succumb to the pressure of time, whatever, circumstance. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that, and God, I hope that works out fine. Now, how idiotic is that? That, to me, is the same thing that, oh, my God, I have a terrible toothache. By the way, nobody ever gets a terrible toothache on a weekday. You always get it at night and the weekend.
Of course.
Because it's more challenging. So, God. So yeah. I'm going to take over-the-counter stuff, and my head's going to explode for 4 days, and I'm hoping it's going to go away. No, call a dentist. Oh, my car's going boom. Oh, you know what? Maybe it'll solve. Yeah, it'll fix itself overnight. It'll call John. My point is that, hello, I no longer have to sit there and rely entirely on my own wits. So exactly. I can say, wait a second now. I'm not the only person who drives that car, who makes that noise. What does it mean? Okay, boom, boom. You are big on, hey, like you said, you found a pump in the basement. What the heck is this for? Okay,
well, that's
take a picture,
isn't it?
Feed it back, in, and I'll tell you.
But back to the research, right? I mean, look, if you know about a topic already, you know smart people that you talk to already, and you just want some extra information about that topic, or you want to dig deeper into that topic, using these tools for research is just what you should be using them for. And But Steve, as far as the jobs, right? In legal, like, I mean, I know a lady, right, who has just gone through divorce. She's 10 days in court, okay, this lady out in Canada. And she literally used ChatGPT as a paralegal, right? So she didn't even have a lawyer. She used ChatGPT to defend herself. Okay, and negotiate and bash her soon-to-be ex-husband in this court case. And from the post she was posting on Instagram, she's been doing extremely well, right? And so it shows to me that whilst these tools are really, really useful, and people who are very smart can actually use them, that the specialists who, for example, if it was a child, say she had children and she had an abusive ex-husband and it was going down that route, having a law firm that specialized in domestic violence, domestic abuse would actually probably be a better thing, right? For her, I personally think myself. And then all these new jobs are going to be coming. So, for example, you've got the chief AI officer, which is what I know a gentleman runs the CDO club, David Matheson, and a massive membership organization now, where he basically helps people to upskill themselves as chief digital officers and now chief AI officers. And he's been running the chief AI officer group for, I think that must be a few years now. So it shows you that these jobs are changing and they're becoming either managerial or high level project management, project planning, perhaps some coding, but actually 80% of your coding can be done now by an AI. So what do you want to code for, right? Like, there are so many of these that I'm actually really excited about it, because I'm excited, but I'm also at a stage where I've watched and I've looked at the history, and every time we have a development, every single time, and this goes for mechanized farming, it goes for everything, all we've done is we've increased productivity and we've actually decided to work harder. And that's something that I don't seem to understand, Steve. Do you want to shed some light on that for me?
Well, you know, I remember when we all learned to type, because we now have laptops and desktops and so on. And, oh, my God, how easy is that? I'm old enough to have had a long career, and for much of that I had, banished the word secretary. You know, I remember I had a secretary for a number of years, and then she became ultimately an exceptionally high-paid senior executive in my company. Because the smartest thing I ever done, I took my great secretary, who ran my life, and she went away on a little vacation for a week, came back, and I said, "Dawn, welcome back. I missed you. And by the way, I got your welcome back present." What is that? Meet Doris. Doris is your secretary now, you know, and then she ended up being a really powerful person in the industry and so on. And, you know, it was just the grandest thing for me to say, hey, you send that schooler a note and here it is. And she would take something called shorthand. And I'd get a piece of paper, look at it, and sign. And there was never a mistake on it because that was verboten. But then now I can do this myself. Well, it took me a while to figure out that I could do it myself. I learned how to type, and I could make corrections, and I added a significant amount of workload to me because I could look at it and change it and go back and change it some more, and eventually I go through this cathartic thing, and I get it done, and I spent five times the amount of time to do it. Now, of course, we can have these machines compute for us. Now, that's not good enough, and then God created cloud computing. Okay, so now we can really do all of that. I can build a Chevrolet online a little bit. I can calibrate pistons. So the answer is that it's a two-edged sword. It gave us latitude and to do more, do much more this way and that way. And so I can do that too. You know, the thing that I lament the most, not having a staff of hundreds or thousands, which throughout my life I was fortunate to have, is the ability to say, I have this thought. I think we could do that. Hey, Terry, do we have anybody aboard that understands that? I'll get back to you. The executive assistant would say, and then pretty soon she'd go dispatch four people in the company, would go do all that research, and I get back to one pagers and say, "Nah, that was a bad idea. Move on." Now that was that's where I missed the most, because once I get interested, oh man, the time suck is astounding. And when I start researching that, the mating habits of wallabies. Why? Because I don't know why. I end up figuring out why mussels in New Zealand are green. Now, that is amazing for me because I'm insatiable for absolutely useless detail. But the reality is it's still only 24 hours a day. That 24 hours a day is no longer 24 hours a day. It's not 48, 72, 412. Because I can't just go to schooler's bot and just ask that. Now, what I get, and this is a distinction, this is not a distinction without a difference. This is very specific. When you do that research, hello, you all, remember, they are, in certainly my world, there are no definitive answers. I don't come up with definitive answers to any problem. I'm not that smart. I don't know. I'm never going to figure out how to split the atom, or I love to say, create another flavor of chocolate. But I can come up with testable hypotheses. If that's true, what else is true? Because everything for me in terms of generating knowledge is pretty much deductive. If that's true, what else is true? So I look at AI to some extent the same way. I can go to AI and try to figure out why my car is exhibiting this kinetic boom. Now, what that does for me, it doesn't fix my car, but it sends me to see John as opposed to Bob about fixing the thing. And when John said, not my competency, Steve, you need to see those people, when they tell me that the sun doesn't rise in the east, I'm prepared to say, no, you're wrong. Well, you're not a mechanic, how do you know? Well, you know what? The fact that I asked that question of Grok or Gemini or Copilot or ChatGTP just added to the knowledge base. Meaning every one of those, now certainly the one I queried, understands there may be some relevant and noetical issue there. And therefore the database starts to grind on, is that a problem? Or is it? And it's astounding when you ask that question the second or third time. And the feedback is, well, 94% of that professional universe seems to agree with that way. Okay, so 6% don't. My antenna gets extended, so when they want to charge me $1,492 to fix that, I go back and say, there's probably a 6% chance I'm getting ripped off. So what does that mean? I'm going to have a chat with the guy and say, dude, here's another way to fix it. Can you do that?
Exactly.
We can, exactly. But it's not kind of like what we like to do. Well, to spend less money.
Mm-hmm.
So let's come to a meeting of the minds. AI is astounding to get me to understand what I just got myself into better. Now, give me a framework. And as you know, I'm big on framing issues.
Yeah.
First, you frame your issue. Very specifically, this is what it's fish, fowl, big, small. You quantify it. This is a big deal, not a big deal. You qualify it. Ooh, could you die of that? Yes or no? And now you start applying the go forward. Now what I have to do. Now that I got it and I framed it, hello, AI is what a wonderful way to do that.
Well, exactly. Exactly. But also, I found it very, very good. Actually, when it came to telling me about writing, right? And it echoes actually what we talk about a lot, which is the word salad, regurgitated, poor quality writing, lacking style, lacking skill, lacking any substance, right? It's basically what it's saying is that high quality writing, which we have in Monday Influencer clearly, is okay from disruption, and our policy is to basically write this ourselves, right? And you narrate that once a week as well, right? And we currently have no plans to clone your voice and get AI to read your words. Right. And our words in Monday Influencer. We don't have plans to do that. We don't have plans to stop interviewing people because it's not what we want to do. And that's the point is we in life make our choices. Right. And if you make a choice of, well, I don't really want to waste my time learning about all these things, da da da. What's going to happen in your career is you're basically going to suffer. You're basically either your boss is going to turn around and go, look, we're downsizing, right? Or your boss is going to turn around and say, well, we're doing this and you need to learn that. And if you don't do what your boss says, then you're going to be let go, right? Because you're not going to have the skills to keep up in this changing world. You know,
today you're not going to get that job that you want.
No,
you're not going to be able to advance in the job you have and perhaps even keep it.
Yeah.
unless you become informed, not necessarily knowledgeable, but informed. What is happening in the industry you work in that impacts your level, your type of job? What is happening to companies like the one you work for that impacts your job? And then, very specifically, how's your job function changing? What's new and different? Because if you stand still, you will fall behind. I'm a fantastic claims adjuster in the automotive world. I'm fantastic. Good. We're proud of you. Your family's proud of you. Employers are cool with that until there are people who do it better, faster, with more cognitive tools, and they can apply it better.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing. Some guy clipped the rear end of my car, and okay, right. My friends at the body shop will fix it, insurance company, so on. The adjuster doesn't have to come out. Some guy at the big old insurance company said, I don't have to come out. How about you take a picture, transmit it to me? I'll break it down granularly. And then the body shop said, but you know, we need to take the bumper off because of our electronics and stuff. It's okay. I can see through that. Seriously? I don't have to come out. I got it. Okay, good. I'm happy. Everyone's happy because they have a tool that analyzes what's inside that funky bumper and what could be hurt. And are there triggers to indicate that's okay. Insurance company is perfectly happy writing the check. My friends at the body shop said, nah, we'll stick and take it off and take a look, just in case. Just in case.
Of course.
You know, it's in our phenomenal world of high technology, I wrote a piece on this. Sometimes an abacus is better than a 10 petaflop computer.
100%. So tell me, Steve, what job would you like me to analyze whilst we are talking with? I can get a personalized analysis here, which is what we're including now in Monday Influencer. And yeah, I'm excited to run this report, to be honest.
How about a claims adjuster for an insurance company? So I was carrying on about it.
Okay. Let's have a look. So in the meantime, I think that it's actually really super exciting looking, because I talked about this tool, which is what we're giving away for free as part of Monday Influence. So I talked about this tool with a lady called Monique Morrow, she's involved with IEEE. She was basically a CTO at Cisco, right, for many, many years. And we talked about this thing 5 years ago, I believe, on a podcast show. And I personally believe that it should have been part of LinkedIn Learning. It should have been part of LinkedIn and actually integrated with LinkedIn years ago. But what's so exciting is we get to give this away for free to people, included in our amazing thing. So, okay, here we go. So this is the assessment of the disruption risk. Okay, we've got the assessment here. The risk of disruption is medium, is basically what it's saying here. So the reason is that it involves a blend of tasks. Some are highly routine and data-driven, aligning with areas AI excels at, and the research identifies as high risk for automation. Okay, so initial claim intake and sorting, verifying basic policy information, calculating settlements for simple, clear-cut claims based on established rules, generating standard reports and data entry related to claim details. Okay. However, a significant portion of a claims adjuster's work requires human judgment, critical thinking, negotiation, and empathetic communication, which the research indicates are less susceptible to full automation and can be augmented by AI. So, determining liability in complex or ambiguous situations, assessing damage or loss that requires nuanced interpretation or physical inspection, detecting and investigating potential fraud that goes beyond simple pattern recognition, negotiating settlements, especially in contentious cases, communicating with and providing support to policyholders during a stressful time, requiring emotional intelligence, and finally, handling unique or unusual claims that don't fit standard procedures. Okay, so here's the summary. AI is likely to automate the routine data processing tasks, increasing efficiency. This will shift the adjuster's focus towards the more complex, investigative, and human-centric aspects of the job, leading to significant augmentation and a change in the nature of work rather than a complete replacement. And to remain competitive and future-proof in their career, a claims adjuster should develop the following key skills. Clearly, as we've said, proficiency in AI-powered claims tools, actively learn and become expert users of new AI automation platforms used in claim processing, data analysis, fraud detection, understand how the AI works, its limitations, and how to leverage its insights effectively. Advanced analytical and critical thinking. So they need to strengthen their skills in interpreting complex data provided by AI, etc., etc. Complex problem solving and case management. Enhanced emotional intelligence and communication. So they need to work on their interpersonal skills, empathy, negotiation skills, etc., etc. So
amazing, isn't it?
Right?
Okay, so that. So then, as part of the process, you have a client, if you will, a subscriber who has this issue, applying for a job. Huge, huge, huge. Applying for a job today absolutely does not compare to applying for a job a year ago. Just not the same. There's a whole paradigm to applying for a job, whole paradigm for creating a resume, which is very different, and how to approach the pitch. Hi, Mr. Johnson. I qualify for the job, I'd like you to consider me. That's a very different world altogether. Now, so if you don't understand that, your resume is not going to get read, period. Now, and you're not going to get the job. It's just not going to happen. And you're not going to get that raise because all of a sudden,
exactly,
the lane you're in doesn't align the lane with your management leadership is in. One of the amazing things in that grouping of things you talked about, and this is critical for this particular job, you know. You are the claims adjuster. You need to understand, and then we get into why you want a schooler's tool and how to use it. You need to understand that by the ordinary performance of your job, you have absolutely, competing goals with your client. You have two clients, your employer and insurance company, and client number two is the insured. The insured wants to get the claim for the medical procedure signed off on, wants to get the car fixed, wants to get the floors fixed after the flood or earthquake. The insurance company says, yeah, you've been paying those premiums for 20 years. Mr. Adjuster, you get paid to ultimately figure out how to get rid of the claimant and pay out as little as possible. The claimant said, I don't want a cheaper floor. You know, I mean, really. You know, I just went through it. I told you. The rear end of my car has this fiberglass diffuser, which is a stupid device that it's aesthetic. It's just, you know, and it costs so much money, it's absurd. And the insurance company said, oh, why don't we just not do that? What do you mean not do that? It's integral, whatever. So the point is, how do you navigate that process where the insured wants this and the insurance company kind of wants to make you happy? The most glaring example of that side in the United States is when the doctor said, Mr. Johnson, you really need to have that MRI, and we need to switch you to this drug from that drug. It's just critical because the drug you're taking is actually counterproductive. In fact, there's not anecdotal evidence that it could kill you. And then you go, and I said, okay, well, the insurance company guy, some doctor in Lincoln, Nebraska, who said, okay, well, schedule you an MRI in 6 weeks. I have to think about it. My doctor said I need one today. No, 6 weeks. And then the drug you want, no, that's just too much money. But you keep taking this one to see how you tolerate it for next month. Doctor says, my patient could be dead in a month. But the core problem is you need to learn part of the job, and that schooler's tool will absolutely guide you in the communication module of the process, where you're straddling the needs of your company, needs of your employers, with the constituency you theoretically, practically serve, and come up with a reasonable compromise where everyone is reasonably happy or reasonably unhappy, but it's an elegant solution is done. That's happened to be integral to that particular job. Oh, by the way, it's also particular to every darn job.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're selling something to somebody all the time in some way or manner or form. So the the interpersonal thing, AI is not going to assert, but AI can help you identify the 6-7 touch points and will rank them in order of typically what is important to you. This is really important. Unfortunately, 87% of people think it's not. Where do you put that in your job? I think having this tool is like hiring a team of consultants, the practical people will tell you what needs to be done, and then the action people tell you how it needs to be done, and then the people will help you survive the process successfully. You got this done, you can accomplish yourself really well. Your employer said, hey, great outcome, Nat. Well done. I'm so glad you touched that. And the ultimate, the other side, the adversary said, well, I should not have expected better. I think that's what I should have done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the most amazing thing is that within Monday Influencer, we have so many resources which we are making available each week. We're adding more and more to our learning management system. And actually, if you turn around to us and say, well, we've run the tool, I've run the tool, and the career advisory said, I need to learn about negotiation, we've got you. If it said you need to learn about sales, we've got you there. We've got so many topics that we are releasing within this platform here. And each week with the Monday Influencer, we give you actionable advice and point you in the right direction of success. And this career advisory, whether you're in a small business, run a small business, or you're an executive within a business, or even if you're doing a master's degree and you're studying, right, as an executive, this tool will help you. And the content, if you turn around to us and say, right, I need to learn about X, Y, and Z, we can fit that into our schedule for you, and you can have that available within, I would say, within 2 to 3 weeks, if you give us some topics that are going to be popular with everyone. If you ask us for some specific industry-based topics, that specific, you know, brain surgery training and things like this, obviously we're not going to be putting those in there because
some brain surgeons too.
We do, yeah. I mean, we might be able to point you in the right direction of a brain surgeon if you need one, you know.
I have to say is that we have a side, I wouldn't call it a business, although it ends up being a business, part of the advisory world, that we jokingly call, we know somebody who. And you'd be surprised, our fine listeners, the kind of requests you're likely to get when people become associated with a really strong resource. Do you know anybody who can can beef in cans for the Russian winter in Siberia? I don't exactly spend all my nights thinking about it. But let's just say that day and a half later, we identified the big factory in Ireland that can do that after talking to our friends in Argentina. They do a lot of beef there. And then they sent us to Chile, then they sent us to Spain, and they sent us to this. And then some guy in Germany said, you got to talk to this guy in Ireland. 2 days later, they made 40 million euros worth of canned beef for charity. We know somebody who, because we're researchers, and we have a lot of great, thank God, a lot of great relationships. Between us, we just know a lot of people who can give us guidance of where to go. And information is king. Research is uber king.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you are listening to this and you're like, well, actually, I could really do with using that tool, you know, just grab the $1 month one trial of Monday Influencer. Go to mondayinfluencer.com, put in your details, and then go for it. And you can have access to that pretty much straight. Yeah, it will be straight away. I just need to set it up, which you will obviously find that it will be set up by the time you push the button. So go for it. And, you know, we're there for you to help you, to guide you on your career and life journey towards more success and a good work-life integration or balance, as many people call it. So thank you, Stephen. Always enjoy speaking to you.
Thank you, Daniel, always.
And thank you for listening, everyone. Ciao.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.